This bonus episode of Grant's Rant Small Talk is brought to you through listener support over at patreon.com/grantsrants and Harry's Razors. Go pick up your free trial shave set over at harrys.com/grantsrants. A great shave at a fair price. harrys.com/grantsrants.
From the podcast, Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk, it's Grant's Rant Small Talk.
Let the ranting begin. I am joined by Shane Feldman, a motivational speaker, CEO of Count Me In, and a participant on A&E's Undercover High. Welcome to the show, Shane.
Thanks for having me, Grant.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. We're going to get a good inside perspective on a reality show that's perhaps one of the realest ones in the game. We talk a lot about reality TV on this show, and a lot of it is reality in quotes, but not this one.
Oh no, this is as real as it gets.
Yeah, and it shows like literally all angles, and we'll get into it. Now, if you haven't watched Undercover High, what it is it follows seven young adults who embed themselves for a semester in a Topeka, Kansas public high school. The participants pose as a typical student attending classes and activities and providing an inside look at what it's like to be a teenager today. But I almost feel like that description doesn't even say enough. It's not about people worrying about tests and stuff. I mean, these are people who are up against adult themes, very realistic, people who live a high-stress, chaotic life that don't know any different. It's a mix of people. Obviously, it was a very large school, but the way it's being portrayed is these are really young adults facing adult problems.
Absolutely, which is very representative of what teenagers across the country and many other parts of the world are facing day to day. Kids are growing up faster than ever, and the school that we actually shot this show in was very representative of a typical American public high school. The population was a third Hispanic, a third African American, a third Caucasian. There was about 70% poverty, students taking advantage of the free breakfast and or free lunch program, and dealing with so many challenges far above and beyond, you know, and studying.
Way beyond. I discovered this show through Kate Casey from over at Reality Life, a popular reality TV podcast, and she had great things to say about it. And I like seeing relationships and lifestyles, and I was very curious. My sister taught in an elementary school, a public school in Florida, and it was a mixed community of folks, and she really opened my eyes to what it's like to be a teacher nowadays. In this age where, you know, a lot of people need a lot of special attention and the income level is so split, and I really had no idea. I did grow up privileged where I had, you know, gone to high school, but I literally had no idea what it's really like out there in the real U.S. So this show really opened my eyes, and it actually latched onto a lot of what my sister had told me. So I'm still interested in it. I've watched every episode so far, and I think it's a great show and it's doing great things, I hope.
That's definitely my hope. That's why it was a project I really believed in from day one, and I was thrilled to be a part of. I saw so much opportunity, not only in having a direct positive impact on so many students in the school, but also learning so much about what it's really like to be a teenager today. I mean, I work with teens. Count Me In, it, you know, does work with teens. It's pretty much my day job to know the ins and outs of what it's like to be a teenager today. But I didn't really realize until going undercover, really embedding myself as a teen today, what they're really going through on a day-to-day. You know, teens are so thoughtful and careful when they build these massive walls that they architect to keep adults out. You know, they put up all these brave fronts to, you know, protect themselves, keep themselves safe from being vulnerable. And being a peer, those masks are taken off. So you really kind of get to see these teens for who they are, what they're struggling with, which, you know, has really given me a massive advantage in knowing how to better support them. I feel like I am better equipped now than ever before to really be a true mentor positive mentor for teens across the country, because I feel like I have this very unique firsthand insight as to what they're going through.
Yeah, I mean, you really are like a handful of people of a young adult age that have experienced this, literally being embedded as a student in the seats next to these people and not like a guidance counselor or, you know, someone to the side. I mean, you really have lived this life, which is kind of incredible if you think about that small select group of people. So how has this affected your business?
Honestly, I think it has really made me way stronger of a mentor than I ever have been. You know, when I get on stage in a school or at a student conference, I'm able to connect with students on a far deeper level than I've been able to in a decade, you know, since I was starting high school myself. And so it's definitely given me an advantage there. But about half of my work now has evolved into working with educators and parents, helping them better understand their students and better connect with their own students. And this experience and my time being undercover as a student working as a peer has really kind of given me some insider knowledge that I'm so eager to share. So it's certainly, you know, benefited the kind of high value content I'm able to now deliver regularly to educators and parents that I work with on an ongoing basis throughout the year.
There clearly are a lot of challenges that go into this, especially in this country right now, and just the financial divide between people in class and cycles of poverty and beyond. You know, how do you feel? Do you feel confident that that things could change in the future? I mean, you know, what's the realistic point of view to take? It's such a big monster of a problem when it comes to this.
It is, and I think the underlying issue is far more simple. And I think once we open our eyes to it, you know, we're going to start to see these incredible changes and finding our way back to balance. The biggest issue that I found that struck me while I was undercover is this growing disconnect between teenagers and adults today. That includes parents, educators, mentors. You know, teens are growing up feeling more misunderstood than ever before. And what they need, what they are craving more than anything, is for us as adults to just show up, to really see them and hear them for who they are, for what they're going through, and show up with true empathy and compassion, because they're not getting that online, which is where they're spending most of their time these days. You know, social media, smartphones, the whole digital world is really consuming in a lot of ways. And it's not, you know, I think the argument is completely invalid as to whether, you know, smartphones, social media, all that is good or evil. I think that's the wrong question. It really is just a vehicle. The issue is we don't have a balance, right? There's a real dependency on devices in the digital world right now. And the issue with that online space is that especially when you're a teenager, you are not getting the kind of support and empathy and understanding that you crave as a human, right? So teachers have this incredible opportunity, and in my opinion, a responsibility to show up in their classes every single day, not just with the curriculum, but more importantly, with that empathy, with that compassion and understanding, you know, just really holding time and space for these kids. And parents have the same opportunity every night at the dinner table. I think the first thing we need to do in order to lead a more positive shift on a national level is to have a no cell phone rule at the dinner table. Something that simple, you know, is going to start to create these meaningful connections between teens and the older generation, which right now is seriously lacking.
Yeah, I mean, I can relate even as an adult. You know, I definitely use social media and texting to replace certain interactions. I mean, I live on my own. My family is on the East Coast, and that's my excuse for it. But yeah, I mean, I even as an adult, I mean, I wish almost in a way I was coming up. I graduated high school in 2007. So Facebook had just crept on the scene that time. But I can't imagine now. And, you know, I feel like I'm already falling victim to that whole thing. So, you know, it's so important what you're saying. Now, this experience, how were you approached for this? I want to know how the whole production side of this came into your life.
I was approached for this because of two main reasons. One is my work with teens over the last 8 years. You know, I've been running Count Me In for nearly a decade now, and I've been speaking in schools and working with students in various capacities for 8 years as a motivational speaker, and started working with educators. So I definitely had my work experience going for me. And the second piece just as important, if not more so, is that I look like a 12-year-old myself. So, yeah. You know, those two pieces really played together. What we needed were people who kind of understood the minds of students, were able to go in and make a positive impact, and also looked like a student themselves.
And how were you approached? Was it through a production company? Did you have to just take a few meetings and learns of this project?
Yeah, I was reached out directly because of my work.
Okay, right. And I've watched the show pretty closely. It looks like it was shot exactly a year ago. There's things from March of 2017 in the background. Is that correct?
Yep, it was the spring semester of last year.
Mm-hmm. Was there a reason they held on to it for so long? I know obviously production could take a while, but I'm curious if they had to give it a leeway, a period of time for the students, or if there was some type of legality behind it.
Tons of things go into post-productions, as I'm sure you can imagine. We shot for a full 4 months. So think about, you know, the amount of footage and, you know, to turn anything like that into a season of 11 episodes is quite the feat. I think it's incredible to be in the editing room, you know, in any capacity, but especially this show, you know, 4 full months of shooting, you know, is just astronomical as compared to many of those docuseries that, you know, you see shoot for 4 weeks, 6 weeks. And I think it's really cool how it really lined up with current day. You know, we're seeing episodes similar to how you'll see dramas, you know, have their Halloween episode the same week as Halloween. Everything's really lining up nicely. So I definitely think that it was great that the network was able to line this up to almost be the same timing as we shot it.
And it's not uncommon for a season one of a show, especially reality TV, to be exactly a year out. I don't know why that is, but it seems to be a common theme with season one of any type of reality show. In this series, you have put together Highland Park Radio 1 and Morning Announcements, and this resonated with me. I know you didn't create the Morning Announcements, but you've had started this initiative to get kids more involved with radio. I know you mentioned you did that in school on the show, and that's something that I did in my school, so I could relate. I had to pick up that janky phone and put in the code, and good morning, this is Grant, and I would read through all the announcements, so that kind of stuck with me. I liked that moment. I just wanted to bring that up. How did all that come to be?
It was great. You know, I felt early on that there was a lack of a platform for student voice in the school. You know, my day job is very much about elevating student voice, giving youth the empowerment and the tools and resources they need to really stand on a soapbox and feel like they have value right now. And I felt like Highland Park lacked that kind of opportunity. So I took it upon myself to create something that would not only provide that platform for student voice, but also unite students from different cliques, from different backgrounds, and from different clubs in the school and bring them together. Not to mention, have schools start on a far better note. You know, lots of people were skipping that first period or coming in late to school, and I figured starting the day off with music will give an extra opportunity for those students to show up on time and to kind of have a skip in their step or dance their way to class instead of, you know, looking down at their phones or just moseying through the greenness of the hall. So I had the idea, pitched it to some students, was able to build a team, and then we started dealing with all the technical you know, issues in terms of, you know, there's a cassette player next to the phone. What's a cassette? That was not only that, but, you know, students who don't even know what CDs are. And I think they actually highlighted that on the show. You know, I think it was Reve, another student, who said, "Do we even have CDs anymore?" Hilarious, because when I was in high school, that's absolutely what we used. It wasn't until my senior year that we started, you know, plugging our phones directly into the system. But this was great, and we were able to put a lot into building the system. And, you know, you hear some of those fancy voiceovers that I was able to have my team create. It was great kind of seeing that come to life, and at the same time making sure that the students really took ownership over it. It wasn't, you know, the Shane show. It wasn't just me running it. I was really intentional early on of making sure that I was only running a small component. And every week I was trying to pass more and more to Haley and Reve and Aiden and a couple other students, because I knew that, you know, I wasn't going to be around, not just because I was undercover, but because I was a senior, right? Mm-hmm. So it all worked out really well. They knew that, you know, regardless of circumstance, regardless of the show, I wasn't going to be around the following year. But I'm really happy about the way that it was started and what we were able to build. And it's a lasting legacy piece now that I'm thrilled remains in place today at Highland Park.
Wonderful. I, as an audio guy, I loved it because, you know, like you said, you had, you mentioned your team created those great calls and announcements of the radio station. And I loved that because that's something that I would totally do. So it just stuck with me. And I'm glad to hear that it's still in operation.
Yeah, there are some incredible changes and things that were put into place during and following us working on this show at the school. As you can imagine, we are uncovering a certain degree of challenges, obstacles that we were facing as transfer students, and also that we were witnessing other mm-hmm. students facing. So it's incredible. And you can actually find online, they've released a full document talking about the kinds of changes that have been put into place both at Highland Park and board-wide at TPS 501 out in Kansas. So it's incredible. You know, this show has really made a tangible impact, you know, unlike many other reality or documentary style TV shows that kind of come in, do their thing and serve as a form of entertainment for the masses. I really feel like this has made a tangible impact on the lives of students and many, many more students to come over the years.
That's wonderful to hear. I want to offer my condolences to you regarding your grandfather. I'm very close with my own grandparents. I can't imagine going through this experience and having to deal with the loss of someone like that in a family. You must have been a very strong person to get through that.
Thank you. You know, it was really hard getting that call, being in the isolated silo mm-hmm. that I was in, living out there, you know, a handful of people knowing where I was and what I was doing. And it was really, really challenging to move through. At the same time, I think that, you know, that's such a universal concept that whether you like it or not, it kind of unites us all. You know, the idea of loss and heartbreak, especially when it comes to family members and the older generation and grandparents. So on one hand, it certainly wasn't ideal where I was and how I was able to get that news and deal with it. And, you know, the production company was incredible. I was in a car headed to the airport, literally within hours of getting that call at 11 PM, at night. And unfortunately, in the car on the way to the airport, he passed away, so I didn't actually make it back to see him. However, we got the chance to talk, you know, that night, which was powerful, and I think such a gift that so many people don't get. Right, mm-hmm. so many times you're not given even that 24-hour window, and at the same time, even though I wasn't there, you know, trying to find an ounce of positivity as I do in almost everything, you know, I really do think that it's important that this kind of situation was part of a show like this. You know, we're talking about real issues, and this is an issue that we all face. Not everyone can relate to poverty. Not everyone can relate to living in a single family household, or dealing with severe violence. But we can all relate to some element of loss. And I think it's important to remember that I consider it my job to continue living as fully as possible and to be a living part of my grandfather's legacy, right? That's mm-hmm. that's something. So that was one of the reasons why I ultimately told myself that I had to go back and finish the semester, which took a lot. You know, I was with my family and right. mourning, funeral and all this, and then I get back on a plane to go back to this silo. And ultimately I did that because A, I felt like I almost owed it to my grandfather to finish it. You know, he was one of the most giving, generous, good human beings that I've ever known. And, you know, thinking about that and the kids that I had met, you know, from Danny to Haley and so many other students that I built relationships with, I knew that my job wasn't finished yet. Mm-hmm. You know, forget about the cameras, forget about the show. I knew that I was making a real impact and that I wasn't done yet. You know, I felt that in my heart and in my body. I just knew that I had more to give of myself to these students. And I'm so glad I did, because those last 5 or 6 weeks proved to be some of the most impactful. And, you know, where we are in the season right now, you know, that's all coming up, you know, mm-hmm. from prom to graduation, everything in between. A lot happened in that final stretch, and I'm so grateful I was a part of it, because, you know, the impact, as you're seeing, is tangible, and it's just going to continue throughout the rest of the semester.
And that's exactly why I'm a fan of the show. I wanted to highlight the show on this podcast because I watch a lot of, like we put, like I said earlier, like putting it in quotes, reality. And it's just so great to see something real that actually has results in society that will help people long term. Like, these are the show, like, this is why I'm getting a little tired with certain shows that I've been doing, because you can see through a lot of it. And, you know, it's all for entertainment purposes. But it's so great to be able to sink my teeth into something that is so real and to have this conversation with you that is very relatable in a lot of ways. And even hearing about, you know, just the beautiful way that you, you know, honored your grandfather. I mean, this is what makes this show so unique and special, at least as a viewer for me. So it's, I think it's a great thing. I really do. However, I want to know, obviously, you've probably gotten this question a million times, but you had no idea who the other participants were, did you?
Officially, no. We were never introduced. We never, you know, nothing like that happened. I can speak for myself that I certainly had suspicions. And, you know, where we are now, we saw a little moment.
Yeah, we saw a little moment when Nikki was going to have, when she promoted that girls group on the announcements.
Something's going on here, right?
Yeah.
You are incredibly mature and driven and motivated. And I wonder what's going on here, right? So I certainly had that with others as well. But, you know, it certainly wasn't like producers were coming up saying, hey, you know, these are the other people undercover with you. You know, that certainly never happened in any capacity. I'm actually quite impressed at how well they were able to keep us separate. And I value the way that they did it on the show. Would it have been way easier, you know, going through it, feeling less alone and isolated? Sure. But I think it would have also messed with our storylines. As you can see, we're all hanging out with different people for the most part. We've all made different friends in different groups at school. We're all impacting different people. And I think it was really nice that we were all, for the most part, able to keep our storylines fairly individual, because it's giving you a more holistic perspective of what's going on in this school and in the lives of these teenagers.
Right. Because at the talent show, there was a shot. And I think there were like three different participants all in one shot. And I thought it was interesting. What a coincidence, you know, to see like them all kind of in one corner of the room for a moment. I picked that up. But I'm in full belief that, you know, what we're seeing is accurate and not, you know, for interpretation through production. And, you know, I actually really do believe this show. So I'm glad that, you know, it seems legit.
Nothing is staged. Nothing, you know, it wasn't like a directed production.
No.
These are just cameras in a high school watching what's happening.
Right. And that's the thing. I'm jaded, you know, because I watch so many shows that are a little bit slanted in one direction. And that's why I do enjoy the show, because I really am completely on board with it. And it's nice. It's hard to do. You know, you don't want to look foolish. So I look for shows like this, also on A&E, Leah Remedy's Scientology, like that. Yep. Oh, that show is so well done. So things like that is what really resonate with me.
Absolutely. I think, as a society, we are all craving content that is real and raw, right? We've had enough of people trying to pull the wool over our eyes. And I think we are, especially with the addition of things like VR, you know, all we want is for things as real and tangible as possible. We're just seeing that as a theme, you know, just as an example, right?
True. Thing,
you know, we have, I think, less interest in things that are not relatable and more interest in things that we can kind of feel and touch and believe.
Right. You mentioned students like Danny, and, you know, the process is long, and it's a tough group of circumstances over there. You know, knowing that you're only going to be there for one semester, did you ever experience feelings of guilt or wondering how these kids would react once they find out that, you know, you were there, even though you're there with the best of intentions? You know, these are people, you know, with tough backgrounds, some of them. Did you ever have mixed emotions about this process while in it?
There were definitely moments that I felt, call it nervous about, you know, how students would feel at the end.
Right.
And I almost think bittersweet is the appropriate term. But honestly, you know, comparing it to when I work with students in my regular professional capacity or as a speaker, I'll often go in for just a day and build real genuine relationships with students and then leave sometimes after just an hour, mm-hmm. right, being in a school. So this to me was such a gift of an opportunity to be not just for a full day, not just for a full week, but for a full semester immersed with students really making an impact. So I just knew that I was giving my all, that I was being as authentic as humanly possible, and that I was really doing my best to undercover mentor these students and support them while honestly trying to learn from them and better understand them at every opportunity. And I know that they felt that. And I know I knew just a few weeks into it that, you know, there were really, you know, genuine communication, genuine relationships being formed regardless of circumstance. And that's what mattered most. And that's what mm-hmm. carried me through. We haven't gone to the end of the series yet. So I want to be careful not to say any more, but you'll certainly see how that unfolds, because we're definitely not going to leave you with a cliffhanger at the end in terms of what the reactions were when students right. found out. So you'll have to see for yourself during that finale.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that payoff, you know, for sure. I think that as a viewer, you know,
like, as just, we all were, I was yeah. looking forward to that from the very beginning, right? We had to wait 4 months, so now you're going to have to wait yeah. almost the same amount of time.
On a side note, what is there to do in Topeka? Should you have any fun?
It's a great question. Certainly not in abundance, as someone who has spent most of his time between major cities, you know, New York, LA, and Toronto. There's such an abundance of opportunity. Topeka certainly lacks in that area, yeah. and I resonate with the students in terms of not having much to do. I feel like that was even more of a motivation for me to get involved in and start my own clubs and opportunities at the school. And there was an abundance to get involved with at the school, which is nice if you kind of knew where to look. And that was actually one of my suggestions and support points to the administration team. I wanted to make it even easier for students, especially new students, to find those opportunities for involvement. I ended up getting to school early. I was on the bus to get to school around 6:30 in the morning, and I didn't leave school most days until around 5 p.m. So I was really spending most of my time at school between radio, then classes, and then some kind of after school activity almost every single day. Mm-hmm. That's really where my social life was, where my fun was. That's what there was to do in Topeka. And, you know, the rest of the time, I got really into cooking.
Well, you know what? You were there. Clearly, you took this job seriously. You had a job to do, and you poured yourself into it. And, you know, I give you a lot of credit. So, good.
You want to make the most of it, right? Not just, you know, to give the best yourself and to support students, but because you want to find joy in it. You know, I wanted to have a good time. I didn't want to, suffer my way through the 4 months. And I already know, I preach this all the time. This is how I kind of turned my initial high school experience, my first high school experience. How many people can say that? That's how I turned my first high school experience around. You know, I started from being a really disenfranchised, lonely freshman in a new community to getting involved, making friends, and really changing the whole trajectory of my life, my career, by getting involved. So I did the same in Topeka, right? Just finding those opportunities. And if you look for them, they are there. And you know what? If they don't exist, you can start one up like I did the radio station.
And with Count Me In, let's talk about that. I want to, you know, obviously, for those who aren't listening, Count Me In is the largest youth-run organization in the world, people. It's a lot of the themes that, just doing my own research, or, you know, leadership, training, community building, all very positive things. You know, why don't you speak to a little bit more about that, if you wouldn't mind?
Sure. Well, as you said, Count Me In is now an international organization. We have really been pegged as a global youth empowerment incubator. So developing and delivering all kinds of programs, media content, school tours that engage students, motivate students to get involved in some meaningful way, and then we support them and give them coaching and mentorship in order to build their own local projects, service opportunities, sometimes even socially conscious businesses, and all kinds of other clubs and projects. And over the last decade, we've reached around 10 million students, just over, in 104 countries worldwide. And this all started as a small school project, literally born out of my locker and inspired by what started as a really rough transition into high school. So I kind of highlighted this earlier, but getting involved really turned my life around. And I kind of begrudgingly got involved. Initially, it was because my school counselor essentially forced me to sign up for a handful of clubs and councils that he felt matched my interests. And I had just gone to him to try and transfer to a new school because I hated where I was. I felt alone. I felt isolated. I felt invisible. And I wanted out. I figured it was the school's fault. But getting involved, which I thought was just a formality in order to get that transfer, ended up being my ticket to making friends, to meeting people, to feeling a stronger sense of belonging. And the more I got involved, the better my life got. And the more I realized how many students were not involved in anything in my school. Yeah. And I just felt like there was nothing good about school except for these clubs and councils and teams. So I just felt like there were all these students in my school missing out on all this awesome. They must not even realize what's sitting right in front of them. So I really wanted to create something to almost mimic what my school counselor had done for me. You know, he helped me find these clubs and councils and opportunities that matched my interests. So I figured, okay, what if we plan this assembly, this school event, to motivate maybe 50 kids in my school to get involved and then have kind of a motivational speaker maybe, and then this opportunity fair afterwards to match students with clubs and councils and volunteer projects that match them. And I had this idea, gather some friends, the big goals for 50 students to attend this event, and word spread, people started talking. Long story short, 400 kids from 7 schools showed up to this event. And wow. I kind of realized we hit something. You know, we were filling a void that no one else was. This was an entirely youth-led, youth-run, youth-planned event, kind of by students, for students. And we figured this is something cool that everyone kind of wants to come to, and no one really has the opportunity to attend otherwise. Let's see if we can do it bigger and better next year. So the next year, we plan an even bigger event for over 1,000 students from 30 schools, and our programs have just grown and evolved every year since.
It's incredible. Shane, you're a self-starter, you're a hard worker, and you're doing great work, solid work, and you're helping out the future of this country, really. So my hat's off to you.
Thanks, Grant. It really means a lot. I'm grateful to do the work that I do. I feel a sense of meaning and fulfillment every morning when I wake up. And although not every day is easy, not every day is sunshine and rainbows, mm-hmm. I definitely find meaning in all those opportunities. And the more I give, the more I feel like I get.
That's wonderful. Well, where can we keep up with you and keep up with your organization?
ShaneFeldman.com is where I live digitally online. You can find me on all the socials, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And the website for Count Me In and Count Me In programs is CMImovement.com. So Count Me In Movement, CMImovement.com.
Wonderful. And you can catch Shane on A&E's Undercover High. I watch on demand. Shane, what nights do they come on A&E? Does that show come on?
It's Tuesdays at 10 p.m. on A&E and also online, you know, on Apple and Amazon Prime. You can find it in all those digital places as well.
Great. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast. And I think we all got a little behind the scenes look and some knowledge, some good knowledge. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, Grant. Pleasure's mine.
Thank you. We'll be back with more rants. Thanks again.
This has been Grant's Rant Small Talk. Want more? Join the full conversation on Grant's Rant Hollywood Talk podcast on Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio, and in the links below.
Thanks for listening. This episode is brought to you through listener support. You can support the podcast by going to harrys.com/grantsrants. Harry's has stripped out unnecessary features like a vibrating handle. Who needs that? And those unnecessary costs to deliver customers one perfect razor at an amazing price. I recently switched to a new ergonomic razor that they sent me, and I have to say, it's so easy to shave. And I don't know why I didn't do this years ago. Harry's is so confident that you're going to love their blades that they'll give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/grantsrants. You'll get a weighted ergonomic razor handle that I referred to, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. To support the show and pick up a free trial set for yourself, head on over to harrys.com/grantsrants.